Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the program for this Monday morning. It is the 11th of January. Very nice to have you with us, and it's a great pleasure, as always, to be in your company. We have a wonderful panel. We're going to introduce them to you in just a moment. I want to remind you that you can always be a part of our conversation, panel at WAMC.org, panel at WAMC.org. So, we begin, obviously, a busy news day. We have a lot going on this week, and we will try to figure out what's going to be happening over the next several days and doing some speculating and what is for the best and what is not for the best. And I think we'll discuss all of that this morning. Let me introduce our panel to you. WAMC's Alan Shartok is here. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, sir. How are you is the question, because you're the guy who holds it all together, and we're here to do your bidding.
Well, I hope that's not the case, but I have to say that, you know, I was just chatting with Mike Bowen, our wonderful engineer, but re-entry on a Monday is always hard, but I don't know, something about as much life as last week took out of us, that this week seemed difficult to get up and get going today.
You know what we need, Joe? We need what the space program has. It's called a re-entry expediter.
Oh, okay.
You see? And we need a re-entry expediter to help us get ready for the week.
That's probably more realistic than my idea of an open bar. But sure, yeah, that will go
that's a good idea.
With the re-entry. Vice President for Editorial Development of the New York Press at the New York Press Association, Judy Patrick. Good morning, Judy. How are you?
I am fine, but I agree. Like, time has slowed. It seems like last week was forever. I wish this week would just be over. Can't we just get to January 20th and let this all be done with?
Well, I think it's going to be a lot going on between now and then, and but hopefully we can make it as snappy as possible. You know, we take our good news where we can get it, and we are thrilled. Immigration attorney Sienna Freeman Tolbert is with us, and her new title is partner with the Albany law firm of Whiteman, Osterman, and Hanna. So, Sienna, congratulations.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
That's very
Happy
nice.
To be here this morning.
Good. It's nice to have you here, and we're thrilled. I think we're going to call on you a lot today and say, okay, legally, what do we need to do here? So, be
do you
ready.
Get a bigger, do you get a bigger office now that you're partner?
No, I'll have a same office.
You're still working out of your house, or you get a bigger room in your house?
I do get a bigger room in my house.
That's good. That's very good. Libby Post is with us, political consultant. Good morning, Libby. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
We're doing well. Nice to have you on, as always. It wouldn't be a Monday without Libby. All right.
Yeah.
A libertarian.
Okay.
No, Alan. Never. never. Liberal, perhaps. Yes.
Libertarian.
Right.
I like my traffic light.
Well, I'm thrilled that you're here, and I thank you very much for being with us. So let's get started with what's going on in I was going to say the world of make believe, but you know what I mean, the life we live in here. So a lot of talk over the weekend, of course, about how the ultimately, the question is, how does the president take responsibility or is chastised for the actions of Wednesday and the coup attempt on our nation's capital? And what we're hearing now, of course, is a lot to do with impeachment, and we are expected that pretty soon the House is going to start moving on this, and maybe even to the extent that an initial filing today and then tomorrow and Wednesday would be the discussion with a vote on Wednesday. If the House impeaches President Trump this week, it will still have almost no effect on how long he remains in office, however. His term expires 9 days from now, and even the most rapid conceivable Senate trial would cover much of that time. But the impeachment debate is still highly consequential. The Senate has the power to both remove Trump from office and to prevent him from holding office in the future. That second power will not expire when his term ends. According to constitutional scholars, a Senate trial can happen after January 20th. And disqualifying Trump from holding office again could alter the future of American politics. It's worth pausing for a moment to reflect on how radical a figure Trump is. He rejects basic foundations of American government that other presidents from both parties have accepted for decades and decades. It's look, the president has tried to reverse an election and remain in power by persuading local officials to commit fraud. He incited a mob that attacked the Capitol and killed a police officer while Congress was meeting to certify the result. Afterward, Trump praised the rioters. No surprise, of course, the behavior was consistent with Trump's entire presidency. He has previously rejected the legitimacy of elections and encouraged his supporters to commit violence. He's tried to undermine America's confidence in the FBI, the CIA, the military, Justice Department prosecutors, federal judges, and the Congressional Budget Office, as well as government scientists, government health officials, and more. He's openly used the presidency to enrich his family. In the simplest term, Trump seems to believe a president should be able to do whatever he wants. He does not appear to believe in the system of the government that the Congress, that the Constitution prescribes, a democratic republic. So, what are we looking at here? Well, Nancy Pelosi said the House would proceed quickly with both impeachment and a resolution asking Vice President Mike Pence and the cabinet to remove Trump from office using the 25th Amendment. Mike Pence originally said that he was not in favor of the 25th Amendment, and now over the weekend he said nothing is off the table. James Clyburn, the number three House Democrat, said the House might delay sending an impeachment article to the Senate to avoid getting in the way of Joe Biden's early presidential agenda. Such a delay could undercut any momentum to convict Trump. Meanwhile, Senator Pat Toomey of Pennsylvania became the second Republican senator to call for Trump to resign, yet Toomey questioned whether the Senate could convict him after he left office. So we'll begin with those little tidbits. It's certainly enough to get us started on what is happening in the aftermath of Wednesday. Alan.
Well, there's so much to talk about, Joe, as you have just indicated. Look, you know, he's a terrible man. He has really, if a person wrote a novel, you couldn't even imagine that it would have any credibility at all,
right,
with all of this. A president who basically turns on his own country. I think there's some good thinking here. I was delighted when I saw the Congress return and certify the election after the thugs and miscreants and bullies came into the White House. Two policemen are now dead. They're dead because of this thing going on. So what we have is a bunch of murderers in so many ways. We have a legal system which really has to catch up. But there is this question that has been raised, is whether it's a good idea to go directly to impeachment in the Senate, which it is not, because Joe Biden has so much he has to do in terms of climate change, in terms of the way in which this country is run, and putting food on tables. So they're going to wait. That's the thinking. They won't send the impeachment resolution to the Senate until Biden's 100 days are over. At least that's the way that it looks now. And I think that's a very smart and good idea. But there is so much, and I can't wait to hear what the other panelists have to say about it.
So before I go to them, because you're absolutely right, but while we're on that subject, do you think the political appetite will still be there by waiting 100 days or more?
I just don't know. I think history is not going to be kind to Donald Trump. I think that once he's out of power, and that's what it is, power. Once he's out of power, I think it's going to get worse and worse and worse for Trump. I think he's going to be seen as a Benedict Arnold. I think he's going to be seen in so many ways as a really, really bad man, and America got out from under him via the electoral process. You can't even imagine what history is going to do to this guy. So, yeah, I think he'll be worse off, Joe, not better.
Sienna.
So I think there is a strategic to delay the Senate trial, because what you have to remember is after January 20th at noon, when Biden gets in power, during that period, during that time that we allow Biden to do to attend to the COVID and to attend the economy, Donald Trump becomes a private citizen. So just because the Senate is not moving on their trial yet, that doesn't mean that the Department of Justice cannot charge him. They can do that, bring him up on criminal charges at that time. So I don't think the fervor necessarily will go away, because the Department of Justice will be pursuing him. We also know there's cases going in New York. So Donald Trump will continue to be in the news, but only this time on the other hand as a private citizen. And so I think that's important to note, that they're looking into that, and that's what they're building right now is that case. So Donald Trump may have to deal with two trials at the same time eventually. He may be dealing with a criminal trial on behalf of Department of Justice and also the Senate trial. And what that will do is if you're bringing forward all this evidence in the criminal trial, that may give some Senate Republicans incentive or the cover, so to speak, to feel like they can vote against him in the Senate trial.
To say nothing, Sienna, about New York State. You have Cy Vance ready to move. You have Letitia James, the Attorney General. So
exactly.
even if he pardons himself and gets out from under the federal charges, he's got other things to worry about.
Judy, one of the things that has come up, and this was said by the House Speaker Nancy Pelosi yesterday on 60 Minutes, of saying that she was basically giving Mike Pence a day to figure out if he's going to remove Trump by the 25th Amendment. I think initially, until this weekend when he said that earlier, right after he said that the 25th Amendment was off the table, we also know that the House Speaker has reached out to Mike Pence and he has not returned that phone call. She made that point clear. So my question is it safe to assume you think that we're not going to be going the 25th Amendment route and we'll start the proceedings tomorrow?
You know, it's almost like they're playing a massive game of chicken to see what's going to happen here. Mike Pence has got to be outraged. Those rioters were calling for him. They were looking for him. They were looking for also for Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. They were looking, actually, Lord knows what would have happened if they had come across any elected person at that point. They weren't just people in silly costumes taking selfies. They were trying to overthrow our government. And Mike Pence, he's playing a game. Well, it's not a game, but they're all being very strategic. I mean, if I were the president, the cleanest way out for him is to resign and have Pence pardon him. And maybe that's what's going on in the background. You have all this public pressure being put on Pence, on Trump. He clearly violated federal law. He clearly incited that mob to storm the Capitol. And he's got to know that. And unless he can self-pardon, but that's just going to complicate the situation, and the federal prosecutors are going to have no excuse but to pursue challenging that self-pardon. So the cleanest way out for him is to resign, maybe the day before. Blame everybody and their brothers for doing it, and give Pence the authority to pardon him. The question is, would Pence actually do that?
That's a great question.
Judy, my concern is, if I was counsel for Donald Trump, I would say he shouldn't resign unless he had a guaranteed pardon from the New York State. Because if you recall, that's the New York State. Manhattan DA was the one that was able to get his records from the Supreme Court, his tax records. So they are really moving very fast to build this case against them. So he would not only need to appeal. If I was his counsel, I'd be appealing to Cuomo as well as to Pence to pardon him because he needs both of those pardons to be safe.
Can you imagine Andrew Cuomo giving this guy a pardon?
No.
I cannot.
I mean, not in the current state of their relationship, which by all accounts they haven't spoken since Wednesday, and it's always been somewhat tense. Libby, we just have about a minute before we go to break, and we'll certainly come to you afterwards, but let you start now.
I watched the 60 Minutes interview with Nancy Pelosi last night, and what struck me was she was close to tears, as many of us were, watching what happened at the Capitol on Wednesday, because it was such a disgrace and degradation of the democracy and country that we do love. We do love this country. Some of us fear our government, and for the last 4 years that was certainly the case, but we love this country. We love the institutions of democracy and the republic. And when I saw her tear up, I knew that we were in a spot where people were having this emotional reaction, not only to the threat of their own lives, but to the threat of our own democracy.
Let's pause there. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation and much more to talk about. We welcome you. We always welcome your letters. We ask that you keep them short and to the point. We always ask you that, but we really mean it today and over these over these days, because we have a lot
really
of letters.
We
really do mean it, because sometimes we let it slide, but we have a ton of letters, and we really do want to get to as many as possible. So make them short and to the point, and we'll get to what we can get to. Alan Chartok, Judy Patrick, Sienna Freeman-Tolbert, and Libby Post will continue our conversation after this short break. Marjorie writes to us and says, for no other reason, and there are plenty, Donald J. Trump needs to be impeached and convicted by the Senate to take away all of the post-presidency perks on the taxpayer's dime. No $200,000 pension, no $1 million a year travel budget, no Secret Service detail, no lifetime health care, no potential to hold public office ever again. Please, oh Santa, please make this happen.
That ain't going to happen, because that Senate isn't going to do it. But I understand what she's saying.
Yeah, but, okay, so my question is, people are talking about bringing it to the Senate after Biden's first 100 days.
Right.
Is that real? Can that happen? He'll be out of office.
No, it can. Apparently it can.
Well, if it can, I do think that it may just well happen, because you'll have a 3 months with a tremendous fall from grace. The idea of him not being able to hold a federal office again, to me, is more important than all the financial stuff put together.
So feel free to tell me why I'm wrong on this, but my concern would be that if it loses its momentum in the Senate, and by all means, I understand Joe Biden's concern. I understand James Clyburn's concerns. I understand all of that of look, we have a pandemic. You want to get in there. You don't want to occupy the House and Senate with other things when they need to do the work of the people that has been put on hold for almost a year. I get it. But my question and my concern is that after that first 100 days or whenever it is, will there still be an appetite, but B, will some sort of martyrdom been done on Trump that he was maligned and be in a different position than he is right now?
I think those are very fair questions. Very fair questions there. Remember that half the country voted for this guy. That's number one. And so I think your point is extremely well taken. And, if we are going to say that we are going to take certain privileges away from Donald Trump, does that leave the country in a position where other people who held political office can have the same thing done to them? Now, I'm not arguing for Trump. I think everything that ought to happen to him should happen to him. But I am saying that there will be another side to this.
Libby?
The idea that people will have sympathy for this man after everything he's done. While 70 million people voted for him, yet 80 plus million voted for Biden. Okay, so let's be clear about that. There's over a 10 million vote difference. You know, there was a poll that came out yesterday, I think, saying the overwhelming majority of Americans want him removed from office or think he should be removed from office. And yep. So you will get some of these folks to make him into a martyr. But we also have to remember that those folks who are looking to make him into a martyr were the ones who stormed the Capitol, and there are going to be a chunk of them. They're going to be in jail. They're going to be in federal prison in the long run because they were so stupid. They put their pictures up on Facebook and social media saying, look, Mom, at the Capitol, look what I'm doing. And what they were doing was breaking the law, as we all know. And the FBI and law enforcement are really making headway in identifying a lot of these folks. And they've been arrested. The guy with the headdress has been arrested. The guy with his feet up on Nancy Pelosi's desk has been arrested. The guy who was hanging from the Senate chamber has been arrested. You know, and they're going to be charged, and they're going to go to jail. And
Louis,
so we're going to be dealing with that at the same time as, oh, poor Donald Trump. And I just don't buy it.
Okay, well, I'm not arguing for Donald Trump, believe me. But Libby, is there something that bothers you about the fact that you had these tens of thousands of people storming the Capitol, right? And mm-hmm. and 14 people have been arrested so far?
No, more than that. That's it's more than
okay.
14.
It's like 90. Oh, more than, well, it's 90 something, but it's still a spit in the bucket.
Yeah. Small, absolutely. Look, there was a breakdown in law enforcement. One thing I put on Facebook right away was, where the hell is law enforcement here? You know, we will find out if the Capitol Police, if some folks in the Capitol Police were complicit. I saw a video of Capitol Police folks opening up gates so that people could storm the Capitol.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
those are interpreted different ways, but yes.
Well, that's fine. But the fact of the matter is, when you saw the pictures of Black Lives Matter and the response to that in the summer versus the response to this. And this group was overwhelmingly white, as we all know. And there were police, and there was a retired lieutenant colonel from the Air Force part of this group that's been identified. You know, there are going to be investigations, and I think we're going to see that high-level folks at the Department of Defense, in this Capitol Police and other areas, were complicit in all of this, in saying, oh, they're really, you know, we really don't have to worry about these folks. Why? Because they're white, and we don't have to worry about them doing anything bad.
Well, and it may be more insidious than that.
Well, it could be very much more insidious than that. Like, well, we believe in Donald Trump, and, you know, we believe in overthrowing the government. So
let us talk for a moment, and I'm interested, Sienna, in getting your thoughts on this, and then we'll go around the room. But look, the big concern, of course, is on the groups. All of the tech companies are doing their part, and as far as we've heard that the president has been kicked off Twitter permanently, the ban from Facebook. There is the difficulty in getting access to the Parler app, which I think is now currently on hold. So my question is, there's a lot of chatter, there's a lot of concern, there's a lot of plans being made for January 17th leading up to the inauguration itself on the 20th. So we can't take our eyes off that either, can we?
No, but you have to remember that we still have a very thorough FBI intelligence community. So I was watching and I read that prior to the January 6th incident, the FBI had already done, knock and talks with about 12 different groups. And they were able to take some of the main organizers out of the game for January 6th. So we still do have an intelligence community that is working, that's looking out for the safety of our country and the inauguration and the January 17th incident even though we've taken all these platforms away from them, it's just not as visual as it was before, which is concerning for, you know, I think us as Americans not be able to know, you know, what Trump is thinking right now because he's not tweeting it. But we need to have some confidence, unlike our president, in the intelligence community. And the FBI is doing their job, and they did raise red flags with the Capitol Police. And so, and they were working to, you know, work against these insurrection spikes prior to January 6th. So I'm confident in our intelligence community and what's going on.
Judy, any thoughts on that? And also, just, you know, we just because the president can't go on Twitter, he certainly could, I don't know, issue an old-fashioned press release, a statement, which would say that he was sorry about the loss of the officer, of the Capitol Police officer who was killed. We have not heard that, and took days and days for the White House to...
Actually, Joe, two officers.
Right. And no word, and it took a long time for the flag to be held, be put at half mast and the White House. Or any concern and any talking, any comment about those who were arrested, who were doing his bidding?
You know, I worry about waiting 100 days that our outrage is going to soften over 100 days. Everyone out there needs to try to look the videos that are out there. I watched a video this weekend of a police officer being brutally beaten with a flag, with an American flag mm-hmm. on a pole, just beaten, of reporters being beaten, of, you know, officer after officer. This was a violent, violent crowd. So, you know, they've deplatformed the president. They took Twitter away from him. Parler's gone. Even his Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook, Pinterest, some of the email servers are refusing to send his emails. The text services have shut him down. Somebody has suggested that, you know, if you don't give him that outlet, you don't know what he's thinking, and you don't know what he's going to do next. But he could take a couple of steps and go to the White House briefing room and talk to the whole world. He has plenty of opportunities to talk. This is one of the things we're hearing from Republicans now. Oh, let's have unity. Oh, the big tech is shutting us down. Well, you know what? Big tech can shut you down if you incite violence, if you can promote conspiracy theories that lead to violence. So there are plenty of ways for Republicans to get the message out. They need to stand up and admit that Joe Biden was a lawfully elected president of the United States. So many of them haven't even done that, and the liability of all of the enablers over these years, and specifically on that vote on January 6th into the early morning hours of January 7th, all those Republicans who voted to protest those votes, they need to be held to account. And they are just spinning. They are trying to take the focus off the violence that happened in the Capitol that day and shift to, oh, Twitter's not letting me, or Twitter's taking away my followers. Big deal. You know, grow up, issue a press release, start to be accountable, answer questions from reporters, and be a more accountable public official. Sorry.
Well, the growing up part, you know, Judy, the growing up part, that's the issue here. The man has, you know, the maturity level of a six-year-old. He'll never grow up. He's been spoon-fed his entire life.
Sienna?
All the six-year-olds I know are a lot better off.
Yeah, I know.
And I have two six-year-old grandchildren. Yeah.
Right.
And they would never do this stuff.
I just want to remind everybody about the Supreme Court case with the Colorado baker who refused to create a wedding cake for the gay couple. That was upheld by the Supreme Court, and this is all in the same vein. So, you know, this is a very similar case to what the high tech companies are doing now. They're just doing it to the president of the United States, and that's what happened.
CNN is
capitalism at its best.
We have to take a break, but CNN's reporting that if the president may speak as early as today, and those words will be about the tech companies and taking away Twitter. So we have that to look forward to. Let's
if he was smart, he would shut up.
We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll continue. We welcome your letters, panel at WAMC.org. I'll get to those letters right after this. Many letters to get to, so we'll go right to them. We welcome yours, panel at WAMC.org. Stuart writes to us and says, if the point of impeaching Trump is to prevent him from running again, might the GOP presidential hopefuls vote for it? Tough choices for those boys. Great point. Also, Lola writes, an armed march has apparently been planned for the 17th, not only for the D.C. Capitol, but also for all 50 state capitals. The poster advertising the march is available online. Are we prepared? Well, that's a great question, too, isn't it, Alan? Are we prepared?
I don't know the answer to that question. We do know that that they are talking about coming out on the 20th and before that on the 17th. And we don't really know whether we're prepared, Joe. It's going to be a surprise if we don't get what has been expected. I think it's interesting that so many of the major players, the corporations, have gotten together and said, no, we don't want to give this guy another breath. But we also saw how many people turned out in the elections. Libby's right. Maybe there were more for Biden than Trump, but there were a lot of people who can cause a lot of trouble.
Right.
So I'm very worried about what's coming next.
I heard this explained this way immediately following the coup attempt on Wednesday. That basically there were two groups. There were the people who were the organizers who had been regular presence, had a regular presence online and had been planning and really had been working very hard at this for months. And then there were the people who showed up and wanted to join in and express their concern over the stealing of the election. My worry is, and I don't know, feel free to talk me off a ledge here, folks, but it my worry is that the people who were just if that assessment is true, that the average citizen who's mad and wants to, quote, stop the steal, that they then become emboldened by what happened last week and become more violent.
Well, that's a possibility, all right. It's also a possibility, Joe, if you think
about
it.
Yeah, I heard this. You know, I heard this over the weekend too, that people are going, "Oh, we don't want to crack down on all the Trump supporters because they're going to get even more angry." It's like don't dare tempt the bully because he's just going to be meaner to you. Well, at some point you got to, you know, face up to the bully and smack him down. The idea that they're afraid of antagonizing these people further. I mean, how much worse can it get than storming the U.S. Capitol, desecrating it, trying to reach the top elected officials in our country and do damage to them? And people say it's just a fringe element. This is not all of us.
Right.
Well, I've been doing a lot of discussion with people on Facebook the last several days, and I can tell you there's still a lot of support and there's a lot of rationalizing out there. Oh, it wasn't that many. It's not as bad as a Black Lives Matter protest. This is ridiculous. People need to look at the videos and tell me if that's what you stand for.
So what should we do, Judy? What should we do?
Well, we should be really prepared for until Biden takes office, and after Biden takes office, we need to get the Justice Department, the FBI, every police agency. They need to start cracking down on domestic terrorism. We in the media need to do a far better job of moderating content, and our elected officials need to do a far better job of being leaders and not being followers. They need to establish what's right and what's wrong. The people in our education system have to do a far better job of teaching civics. The people who are adults, they need to do a far better job of educating themselves about how our government works, and what's fantasy, what's conspiracy, and we need to support each other, and we just need to, everybody, we all are responsible for this in some measure, and we need to hold ourselves to account.
I agree with Judy. We have to become better adults.
Yes. I mean, we also, I agree. I mean, absolutely. But getting back to what Judy was saying at the beginning, you know, we have to remember Hitler led a failed coup in 23, and he was treated leniently, right? 3 days, they didn't put him in jail, and
right.
anything
yep.
like that, right? A decade later, he was the Führer. So, and these people that stormed the gates on Wednesday are just like the folks who blindly followed Hitler. You know, I don't know if any of you saw or heard Arnold Schwarzenegger's video thing. I thought it was great. I saw it this yep. morning. I mean, he really made the distinction calling this the American Kristallnacht, and he was absolutely right. You know, it wasn't storefronts that were broken like they were in Austria, but it was the windows and the doors to the Capitol. And he's absolutely right about that. And we have to clamp down on these people. Law enforcement, you know, before Trump took office, our Justice Department was clamping down on these groups for 8 years under Eric Holder and Barack Obama. We have to go back to that. We have to go back to that. They cannot be allowed to function in a way without impunity. They have to be held accountable for their actions, and they have to go back under the rock that they crawled out from.
Let's go back to letters. Karen writes, what does the panel think about quickly adding names of the rioters to the no-fly list?
That's a good idea.
Seems good.
They did it. Some guy had a hissy fit in the airport.
Parler seems to be getting...
Yeah, there's videos of those out there.
Yeah.
Susan writes, Parler seems to be getting their comeuppance. What difference do you think that will make? Well, it's one less platform, right? I mean, they'll probably will become another, but it's one less platform.
Yeah, but if people like the Amazon Web Services and the larger providers won't let them on, it's going to be hard for them to really get a mass following.
Well, and they've just kind of given up at this point. Dylan writes a good point, though, on this. Let's not be too quick to change social media without considering that it is brought to service and made the perpetrators of evil very visible to us all. I'm thinking that in Nazi Germany, the true intentions, personalities, and motives of hate were not always apparent to the masses until it was too late. Let's see. We go to John. I understand Biden's position, but waiting 100 days is a bad idea. Obviously, Pence will not step up to the plate with the 25th Amendment, so impeach Trump. And as soon as the Senate is controlled by the Democrats, he should be tried. John says, whatever opinion one holds of Arnold Schwarzenegger, his video was poignant and heartfelt. Steve says,
absolutely.
Willing to wait 100 days? Good Lord, y'all. You see what was able to be pulled off since November 5th until January 6th in roughly 60 days. You know, that's a great point, because one of the things that the speaker has said, do you want this guy in office for 13 days? That was immediately following what happened on Wednesday. So now you'd be looking for, you'd be looking over 3 months. And of course, it doesn't mean that violence can't happen or be perpetrated in that time, but it is a point.
Do you realize how fast the Senate was able to confirm the last Supreme Court nominee? I think it took 8 days.
Yeah, pretty snappy.
This is going to be some week coming up. Some week. Pardons, chicanery, maybe even, you know, further push on this kind of revolution that we're seeing.
But did we lose time? I keep thinking about this too, Alan, though, but didn't we lose time? I mean, if the House came to this realization, we've been talking about impeachment. Quite frankly, we've been talking about impeachment since, well, there's been talk of impeachment for a long time, but there was serious talk of impeachment even after the call to Georgia 3 days or 4 days before what happened on Wednesday. But immediately following what happened on Wednesday, I mean, what is taking Congress so long in that of even today saying, well, let's wait to see what Mike Pence does and then we'll make our decision?
Well, there's nothing that Mike Pence is going to do that is going to change what's going on in terms of the dynamics with the Senate. I happen to think, you know, there'll be many who disagree with me, but I happen to think that putting food on people's tables, making sure that the laws are shored up so that this kind of thing can't happen again is far more important in terms of, because if you do the impeachment and it goes to the Senate, then nothing happens with the Biden administration. And that would be criminal in my estimation.
Judy, John has a letter for you. What is the line, Judy, between moderating content and censorship?
Hey, you know, as an editor of a newspaper, I did it for years. There is a line, and it's just like what you do at WAMC. You're not going to allow me to come down to the station and sing Christmas carols on the air. You have the ability to decide what you air and what you don't. And so the line between the moderation and censorship, when I was deciding what letters to print and what letters not to print, if I had too many letters of the same subject, I wouldn't print them all. Or if they were inciting violence, or if someone was saying something that was libelous to someone else. One of the things that the online platforms have right now is the protection against being sued for libel. It's one of the things that the Section 230, the much talked about Section 230 of the 1996 Federal Communications Act, does to protect those platforms. And that's one of the things, you know, President Trump thinks he wants to have revoked. I mean, if it is revoked, they're going to be a lot more harsh about what they allow from his supporters. But there is a line. You can't just say the freedom of press is not unfettered, unrestrained freedom to say whatever you want. You can do that. There are certain limits on it. It's not, you can't, you can, but there are consequences. You can scream from the rooftops to, you know, let's murder the whole town, but there are consequences to that. So a civilized society has moderation, and it's, you have people who are experienced who decide what can go and what doesn't go. People who are responsible tend to let the marketplace of ideas be generated. But wow, what has happened on Parler and even on Twitter and Facebook to some extent has been the proliferation of conspiracy theories that are hateful, that ultimately lead to people being injured and dying. And that is what the problem is.
But seriously, if we invited you down, would you sing Christmas carols?
I would. I'm a terrible singer.
Okay. Don't tease us, Judy. Please, don't tease us. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we have many more letters. We welcome yours, panel at WAMC.org. A terrific panel this morning. Alan Chartok, Judy Patrick, Sienna Freeman-Tolbert, and Libby Post. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC. Welcome back to the Roundtable panel for this Monday, the 11th of January. Alan Chartok, Judy Patrick, Sienna Freeman-Tolbert, and Libby Post make up our panel this morning. Coming up at 11:30 this morning is Governor Cuomo's State of the State address. We will cover that as soon as it begins. We have a lot of letters. Let's get to as many as we possibly can. And panel, I'll go through them, and please speak up if you have any thoughts on them. Mary says the armed marchers on Inauguration Day may be met by U.S. armed forces, and a battle could ensue. These folks need to be protected from themselves. Confrontation could be avoided by swearing Biden and Harris in an undisclosed location. Why expose them to danger at all? I think Mary speaks for many who are greatly concerned about doing a public inauguration. What does the panel think about that? Anyone?
I heard that a lot this weekend too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I heard that a lot from people as well this weekend.
Go ahead.
What would you do?
I don't know how public it's really going to end up being. You know, I think that they'll have a short ceremony outside and bring everybody inside. And I also think there'll be incredible security all over.
Yeah.
So, and there won't be a big crowd. So, you know, I would love to see it just happen in the House chamber, you know, where everybody can go in, all the Senate and not the Assembly, the Congress can all be in the House chamber and do it that way. But, It's a scary thought. I mean, we were fearful when Obama was first inaugurated, and that crowd was gigantic. but they had the security that they needed. So we'll see. I mean, we can't just throw all of the norms of what we expect to happen with a peaceful transition of power out the window.
Let's go.
I just think it's for the same reason.
Because of COVID,
that
it was going to be.
No, Sienna, go ahead, and then Judy. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I was thinking for the same reason that Congress came back that same night and they finished certifying the votes. I think it's the same reason why we move forward with the inauguration. You can't let, you know, so-called bullies, dictate what we do in our country. And even though the only thing that should impact the inauguration is the pandemic and being safe and social distancing properly, but that's the only thing that should do it. We should be able to show force. We should be able to show if you try to do something, there will be consequences. So there will be arrests, and that's what should happen.
Well, I'm struck by that, Sienna. What do you mean by we should be able to show force? Would you shoot them?
I mean, I wouldn't shoot them, but I mean, I'm saying if they're coming with. They should be arrested. I don't mean I shouldn't have said show force. They should be arrested, though, and they should be prosecuted to fullest extent of the law. That's what should happen.
Well, it's easy to say, but if they come with weapons and they come bashing people over the head and beating policemen to death, shouldn't they be shot? It's a tough one, isn't it?
Not for me.
No, it isn't. Huh, Libby? Go ahead.
No, it's not for me. If there this kind of stuff, violence needs to be met with violence. And the only way, I mean, I hate to say it that way, but the only way we're going to shut these people down, if they come and start shooting, we do have to shoot back. I mean, what are we going to do? You know, this is what Schwarzenegger talked about. This is what happens. You know, nobody shot back, nobody pushed back, and it's going to be the job of every single law enforcement person at that inauguration to make sure that people are safe. And if it means having to shoot back, then that's what it means. If, you know, I mean, I hate to put it this way, but no one should be allowed into Washington, D.C. that day with a gun, period.
Okay, well, let me back that up with you a little bit. Suppose you're not shooting back. Suppose you have a perimeter, and these people are pushing into the perimeter as they did the Capitol. Mm-hmm. Should you take your gun and shoot them?
No, they need to shoot first. I hate to say it.
Okay, so then let's say 1,000 of them overrun the police force and run into the inauguration and ruin it. You mean you don't use your weapons?
I think there are plenty of weapons to be used. There are batons. I don't think that will happen this time. I think you're going to see a show of force at the inauguration more than you saw at the Black Lives Matter peaceful demonstration. But they had everybody out for that.
Well, we better hope that you're right.
A week ago, I would have said Alan's supposition was fanciful and was out of the bounds of reality. But what happened last Wednesday makes me rethink that. That aside, we have a military, we have a National Guard, and there are peaceful ways to shut these things down before they even walk into the city of Washington. My concern is with every state capital, and I mean this is a dispersed attack on our electoral process. So I think everybody has to be on alert. But I think Joe Biden is going to say we have to go forward with as much of an inauguration as we can. It was going to be lower key because of COVID in the first place, but he's not going to go inside and do this. He's got to go outside, and he's got to rely on the armed forces at his disposal to make sure everything is safe.
Easy for you to say, Judy, but remember this: Donald Trump is going to be the president is going to be the president of the United States until Joe Biden puts his hand on that Bible, right? And therefore, preparations, the kind of preparations which you're indicating we need, and I agree, in terms of armed forces and everybody else being there, is unlikely to happen because Trump is the one who instigated this in the first place. I mean, these aren't easy questions, but that's what it is.
So what do we do, Alan?
Oh, now, that's not fair.
You say that to everybody else.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely true. And the reason I say it is because I don't know. And the answer is... Go ahead.
You know what? The Defense Department's already under scrutiny for not approving the National Guard to come into D.C. from the various states. I don't think that that's going to happen again. I think that they know that all eyes are on them and every security force within the federal government. And I don't think there's going to be this lackadaisical wink and a nod, oh, let them come in and shoot up the inauguration like they did here. So.
Well, all of the information we have now from the people who were asking for all of this is negative. They said, well, there's lots of sources said we asked for the extra help and it wasn't permitted to happen.
Right.
Do you really think that this, I don't want to use a bad word here, but this person, Trump, is going to allow, because he thought these were great people, he had nothing but good things to say about them, including that he loved them. Do you really think he's going to allow them to properly prepare and not help them?
Yes. I don't think.
Yes, he will. He will, because he doesn't want to go to jail. He does not want to go to jail. If anything, we know Trump is selfish. He doesn't want to go to jail.
Sienna, he's a nut.
He knows what he has to do to save himself.
Sienna, he's a nut. He's never done what he had to do.
I don't think the people under him will carry out those orders. I just don't.
Depends on
which
orders.
I think the notion that he's the commander in chief of the armed forces is a fallacy now. I think the Joint Chiefs understand how dangerous he is. And I think that there will be every security measure taken for the inauguration. I don't think you're going to see an official anything coming out of Trump saying, don't do this, officially or unofficially.
Well, I sure as hell you're right. I'll help you. Hope you're right.
All right, let's go through the letters here. Cindy writes, can you speak about Giuliani and Don Jr.? They should be arrested. They incited the riot and violence in their speeches at the rally. They're rather chilling when you watch them, and it will be interesting to see what happens to those individuals.
Yeah, there's news this morning that the New York State Bar Association has opened an inquiry into Rudy Giuliani and whether or not he should be disbarred for inciting the violence down at the in Washington last week. So that's happening.
Yay.
And the U.S. attorney in D.C. is saying that he's looking into individuals who were not necessarily in the vicinity into charging them as well. So we're looking, so I think that language references them as well.
Be sure to let me know when that happens, will you?
skeptical.
Let's see. Betty writes, please don't call them bullies. They're domestic terrorists. The enemy is within. Very sad and very scary.
Let's not fight with each other about that. They're bullies, they're terrorists, they're everything you want to call them.
Susan writes, does anyone know why Rudy Giuliani has not been silenced? Well, I think we've been wondering that for the last several years, right? Marjorie says, Libby Post has advocated counterviolence. I disagree. Committing the same offenses as the criminal makes us criminals. Please, no shooting back, arrest and trial.
Wait. That's not so easy.
If they shoot at us first, are we supposed to just let that happen? We saw what happened in Nazi Germany, where the Jews thought, oh, this isn't going to be that bad. And they ended up on trains to the camps and they were dead. If that's the exact same thing in my book as domestic terrorists coming to Washington, D.C. and shooting things up. If there is no response, They will just continue to do it.
You know, Libby, you keep saying that, and I have an issue with you. And that is, let's just sit. Yeah, no, I know. That's what the program, that's what makes the program. You know, you have a perimeter. You're having inauguration. All of a sudden, 10,000 goons, bullies, whatever you want to call them, show up and start to throw policemen out of the way, helter-skelter. Nobody shoots, but they are coming in, and they're going to beat people up like they beat people up the last time. Now, you said if they shoot, we should shoot back. What if they don't shoot? What if they just push?
You fight, you push back. You push back. You use your baton. You do what you need to do to keep these people away.
You don't use bullets.
No. You can use rubber bullets. You can use tear gas. They have no problem doing that. There's all kinds of things. There's mace, there's tear gas, there's rubber bullets. There's all kinds of ways of keeping people away if they are going to try to storm the gates with another insurrection.
Easy for you to say.
They just have to do it. They have to do it.
And the president has to release his people to be there, which I doubt very much he's going to do.
What do you mean?
That's where I disagree.
In other words, he's sitting at the top. Libby is saying, oh, the people on the bottom who report to the president won't take that anymore. They're going to just do what they have to do. I'm saying I'm not so sure. I know that lots of people have been testifying that they called for troops. They called for a National Guard. It didn't happen. There was a reason it didn't happen.
Libby?
Yes, it didn't happen this time. I don't think it won't happen. I think it will happen the next time. I think it will happen for the inauguration. We already have troops coming in from neighboring states. I know that we're sending a bunch of troops down. I don't think that the Defense Department, the Homeland Security, and all the rest of those departments that are responsible for the security are going to abdicate because the menace says, well, I'm still the president. Nobody, well, I shouldn't say nobody, but thinking people within government, there are many, many people within government who are totally disgusted with what happened on Wednesday, and they're not going to be complicit. They're just not going to be complicit.
And why, Libby, has the president been firing the head of the Defense Department and putting in, his butt kissers into that place? Well, it's not mine. That's all I got to say. It is not mine.
No, it was mine.
Not mine.
Not my dog. Not my phone.
Your line of reasoning makes good sense for why they should try to get that president out of office immediately.
Right.
And when you get ready for that, tell me how. Pence ain't going to do the 25th Amendment, and the Congress will impeach and the Senate won't convict. You're exactly right. That's why he should go. But how's it going to happen again?
So do you
the
really
Republicans
think
of moral courage are going to walk up and ask him to?
But Alan, do you really
I'm
think
just kidding.
That Trump, I mean, what Sienna said is right. He doesn't want to go to jail. So do you really think Trump is going to be complicit in letting a mob break up the inauguration? I mean, I know he set this tweet out saying, oh, by the way, I'm not going to be there, to which I responded, we never asked. But the fact of the matter is that he doesn't want to go to jail. And if he says no to this and anything happens to Biden, Harris, or anybody who's out there for the inauguration, he will be complicit and he will face federal charges.
No, he'll say I didn't do it.
That is the reason why Twitter removed him permanently,
right.
Was because of that
right.
tweet saying that he wasn't going to be there. They found that tweet to basically be inciting, saying to his followers that he's not going to be there, so it's okay to do whatever you're going to do on Inauguration Day.
Wait, I think he said he was going to be.
That's why he was removed from Twitter. So I think that to further, double down and not allow the National Guard to be there to protect, President-elect Biden, and Vice President Pence will also be there, by the way. I think it would just be a nail in the coffin for him in terms of a prosecution for the Department of Justice.
And this Department of Justice, this new Department of Justice is going to be independent, and they're going to do their job.
Libby, this is the old Department of Justice that will be there till the 20th. Not the new one.
But what happened after the 20th, Alan?
That's a whole other story.
Talking about.
Yeah, that's a different story.
Right. Look, right? It is.
All right, let me get to some letters here. Joe writes, anybody wonder why we waited 5 days to hear that Nancy was going to give Pence 24 hours to decide if he would invoke the 25th? He's had enough time just to ask once and start impeaching. Sheesh, says Joe.
One, two, two and a quarter, two and a half, two and three quarters. That's what's going on.
Anthony writes, if the Trumpsies were outraged by flag burning and kneeling at a football game, how can these people continue to think of themselves as noble, having trashed the symbol of American law? And how can the rest of America be so outraged about storming the Capitol when storming and damaging university buildings in the Wisconsin Capitol let that go by as being good protest? The mirror of honesty must be for everyone. Let's see. We go to Jim. Let's hope that if Trump does go on the airwaves today, it will be vitriol enough to push Pence over the edge and invoke the 25th Amendment. I'm sure he has given Trump an ultimatum, and the tangerine tyrant has trouble with rules.
You know, Joe, it's a great question. The question is, what should Pence be doing right now? He knows that this president has already trashed him viciously. He knows, basically, he should know that he's done. How does he get looked at by American history? What does he do now? Should he, in fact, turn around and say, you know, I've always supported this president, but now it's too much. 25th Amendment, I'm calling for it. Does he do it?
Anyone?
You know, the last I heard, he hadn't even talked to Trump yet, but he was furious about the fact that it wasn't just him that was in the Senate chambers that day. It was his wife, his some of his children, his brother. They were all putting down, and Trump never called to see, hey, are you safe? How are you doing? Or even after the fact, say, man, that was terrible. How, are you okay now? So Trump has never reached out, and they have not talked, the last I heard.
So how does that answer my question? What does Pence do right now?
Pence, yeah, he has an opportunity to be a hero here.
That's true.
Steve writes, willing to wait 100 days. Good. I read that one. I'm sorry. This weekend, I listened to an interview of Fiona Hill on an NPR show. Her perspective was that the insurgent mob was a test and probe to see if other police and military would participate and join in to overthrow the government. Nina says, on censorship and Twitter, isn't this denial of free speech? Elizabeth said,
no.
Judith? Or Judy, rather, excuse me.
No, it's not. No, it's not. So let's for those. So the First Amendment guarantees the right to free speech, but that applies to government entities. So you cannot curtail free speech if you're in public property. That's what public institutions, public places, and public spaces. But private entities can control the speech wherever. If you go to a mall, they can restrict your right to protest. If you try to put something in a newspaper, they can restrict you. Free speech does not apply to private entities. It only applies to public institutions. Platforms like Facebook, Twitter, web services like Amazon, they are private entities. They can do all the terms of service that control speech that they want.
And on a higher level, you know, you have to remember, even the Supreme Court does not protect speech that violates the clear and present danger standard. So if there's a clear and present danger that is proximate to their speech, then that will not be protected speech, just generally.
You are.
What they're doing is yelling fire in a crowded theater.
Exactly.
Let's go to Elizabeth, who says, Nixon, not a favorite of mine, when asked to explain his refusal to challenge the 1960 election results, which Kennedy won by only 120,000 votes, is reported to have said, quote, I could think of no worse example of nations abroad, four nations abroad, who for the first time were trying to put free electoral procedures into effect, that the United States, wrangling over the results of a presidential election and even suggesting that the presidency itself could be stolen by thievery at the ballot box. Oh, how times have changed. These days, the bad guys are badder. We go to Matt, who says, what do you think the chances are that Trump will pardon the insurrectionists before leaving office? Pardon power extensions to sedition, does it not? Diane says, please put the pieces together. A man.
Joe, could you stop there for a second? We're now talking about murderers. This isn't free speech. There were two police officers lying dead as a result, with families and nieces and nephews and grandchildren and children. That's different. Now, if I would have fully expected a pardon, a blanket pardon, but I got to tell you, this is really gets very iffy when you're talking about murder.
Absolutely. Diane writes, please put the pieces together. A man takes out AT&T Communications in Nashville. We are paying attention to the guys dressed up in the furry horns, and all our agencies are overwhelmed with finding these traitors dispersed all over the nation. Police departments are discovering that many of their members were present. Inauguration Day is the actual day that civil war could start. John writes, in regards to Allen's justifications on waiting on impeachment, what it really does is show that the entire justice system does indeed enable a two-tiered classification that favors those in high places to over the common citizen. Steal a little and they throw you in jail. Steal a lot and they make you a king. Bob Dylan. Why do you think there's no faith by the citizenry when it comes to real justice in this country? Elizabeth writes, if the terrorists, insurrectionist goons carried weapons, ammo, Molotov cocktails, etc. into the Capitol, then surely they had those items in their gear and on their persons at the Trump rally prior to the attack. Where was security at the rally? Were attendees not screened prior to entering the rally area? Was the Secret Service in on that plan, allowing armed insurrectionists to attend a rally with the President of the United States before heading to the Capitol? Also, we go to, let's see, well, I guess I'm out of time, aren't I? Yes. But Mike said, yes, you are. Let's take a break. We'll be right back and continue our conversation. Last call, we welcome your letters, panel at WAMC.org. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. Alan Chartok, Judy Patrick, Sienna Freeman-Tolbert, and Libby Post. Go back to some letters. Our last call here. We only have about 15 minutes or so, and then we are going to move on. But let me get to as many as we can. Diane says, please pay heed. The 6th was a dry run, probably, for Inauguration Day. This is only the beginning. The transition team is not getting security and intelligence briefings for a reason. Anytime the nation is under crisis, we would have daily Homeland Security briefings to allay the anxieties of the nations. That is not happening. It is because they are in collusion or behind the eight ball, question mark. Howard writes, I'm pessimistic. Fox News will continue to promulgate falsehoods. A huge audience gets its information from Fox. How does the truth get a foothold? Lucian writes, I was in D.C. to counter-protest the MAGA, and on the train on the way home, I was repeatedly warned that this isn't over and that Wednesday was only the beginning. We need to take those words very seriously. Julie writes, good morning, panel. I'd like to ask Sienna about the likelihood that the Biden administration will reverse the recent changes to the citizenship exam. There you go, Sienna.
Oh, right in my wheelhouse. Yes, he will probably. He has a very robust immigration plan, and a lot of it involves reversing a lot of the policy that was implemented during the last 4 years. So we are looking forward to his immigration policies.
Let's go.
And remember that the president sets his priorities on the day one that he gets there for the immigration. So it's very going to be enacted very fast for the Department of Homeland Security and USCIS.
Suzanne says, what are folks hearing about the platform MeWe? I've heard folks are leaving Facebook for it. I guess we'll have to do some MeWe research.
Oh, you know, they're redirecting people to all sorts of these obscure platforms, and all these platforms make money by building an audience and then selling ads on them. We'll see if any of them ever really take hold. I mean, it took a long time for Twitter to get the amount of reach that it has, and Facebook as well. But again, the far right is trying to migrate people to these alternative sites. We'll see what the president is promoting when he speaks later today.
Let's go to Robert, who said the big lie that Cruz, Hawley, and others are selling is that the small number of miscast and miscounted votes that always and inevitably occur when millions of people vote are an excuse to disenfranchise millions and millions of voters and throw out an election. Meanwhile, we go to... I had a letter that I wanted to read, and then I don't know what happened to it. Okay, so Barbara says, I tried to sign up for the next round of vaccines, and much to my dismay, learned that college teachers don't count as teachers, so we're not eligible. We work with one of the highest risk groups, and we actually do teach. Why are we not included in the B1 group? Anybody got an answer for that? I certainly have a lot of questions about it. So we do have professors on the... with us. I don't know the answer to that question, but.
Well, you know, this is a very difficult thing, being able to prioritize who gets what and when. Clearly, I think most of us agree that the people in the hospitals, the people who are doing the frontline work, should come first. Now, different states have different ways of doing this. If I was in New York State instead of Massachusetts, I'd be at a higher priority than I am sitting here because I can't even find out how to do it. So this is going to be going on right from the get-go. People are going to want to get vaccinated. They're not going to be able to, and they can't even find how to do it.
It's very hard to find information out about, but it's all unfolding. Judy?
So this happened. The New York State issued its portal to determine whether or not you're eligible. Opened up, I think it was over the weekend, but it's really been active this morning.
That's right.
And if you're over 75, you're eligible. But they're referring to educators. And over the weekend, I heard someone from say that college educators would be eligible as well. I think it really kind of depends on the county you're dealing with or the hub. The vaccines are distributed via these hubs, and in the capital region, Albany Med is the hub that we're dealing with. A lot of people are online saying how happy they are. They've already got their appointment. So it's really hard if you're not over 75 and you have to wait, but I think there has to be a fairness to how it's distributed, or at least the rules have to be followed.
You know, and Judy, you're absolutely right. In New York, it looks pretty plain right now, but in Massachusetts, not so much.
Mm. Let's see.
Move on over, Alan. Come on over.
It's the first time I felt like it.
Leslie writes and says the Secret Service is in charge of the inauguration, so this event, hopefully the security will be much greater. I'm still nervous about it, but I think it will be harder to breach. The mayor is asking for any protest permits to be denied. Jane says Trump has already pardoned murderers, the Blackwater Four and a Navy SEAL who had been court-martialed.
Yep.
We go to Pat, who writes, while holding folks accountable, one cannot fail to mention Elise Stefanik. This despicable, shameless self-promoter and Trump sycophant continues even today to echo the lying that fomented violence and death in the heart of our nation. Where is her sense of ethics, her conscience, her duty to her country? To me, she represents the next wave of young Republicans concerned only with their careers, their power, and their part, not their country. Shame on her, says Pat.
You know what I say? I say she guessed wrong. She did not think it was going to go the way it has gone. So she took the pro-Trump butt-kissing methodology which she's employed. Nevertheless, I don't think she knew where this was going, and I think she really has ended up in a bad place.
Lynn writes, at what point...
I say she needs to go... I would like to hear Elise Stefanik on the Congressional Corner as soon as possible with Alan Chartok and let her answer
some of
this.
I'd like that, too.
We keep it.
We keep asking her. No. We'd have her in a second. Are you kidding? And we've asked her again and again. She won't come on. Come on.
She's She's a chicken. Coward. Yeah. She is. She's an absolute coward.
And I know we're getting into shades of gray here, but I still think anyone who got on the House floor following immediately within hours after the coup, when there was still tear gas wafting through the halls and they were still cleaning up the blood that had spilled on the floor, to call for the overturn of the election, that seems to me inexcusable.
She guessed wrong. It's that simple.
Yeah, but I mean, well, and people like Cruz and Hawley who are really taking it, we'll see what happens. But you wonder whether if the efforts to impeach them are serious and will actually stand.
Do you think there's a higher power that has dictated some of the things, the consequences to some of these folks? One distinguished United States senator walking through his airport where he used to be a hero because of his support for Trump, now being castigated and yelled at.
Lindsey Graham.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Well, and he's being yelled at by the very people who were supporting him just weeks ago. So, yeah. All right, let's see. We have 5 minutes, so I'll get to as many letters as I can in 5 minutes. Lynn says that, what point can we get the media to stop playing these images over and over and over of the riot? I cannot have the television on in my house anymore. Had to take a mental health break this weekend because it was just the same images over and over, and cannot have my 10-year-old seeing this. Just wanted to catch up on a little glimpse of news and how to go to my phone to do so, or to the WAMC app. Media and free press are great, but I do have trouble when they give too much airtime to these thugs, and in the world of thugs create martyrdom and notoriety. SOS.
What do you think, Libby?
What?
Well, what do you think about
what?
What? Think about playing all of this stuff over and over again. We have a letter writer who has said, too much. We shouldn't be showing it all. I couldn't disagree more.
We need, first of all, not everybody watches the news at the same time. That's number one. We have a 24/7 news cycle, and so people can pick and choose when they see it. But I think we need to show this over and over again so people understand how heinous the situation was. It is a teaching moment for our children. It is a teaching moment for our teachers to be able to talk to kids of all ages about what happened, what it means to live in a democracy, what it means to elect a president, what it means to be nonviolent in your rhetoric, and the consequences of being violent in your rhetoric,
Or turn it off.
Well,
yeah, or you can turn it off. That's true too. I mean, that's up to you. That's the thing. Your TV, you now have so many options. You can take your remote and go someplace else.
I have to say, over the weekend in the Nancy Pelosi piece that 60 Minutes ran, that we were talking about before, I saw footage that I hadn't seen before. I don't think you get a clear sense of just the extent of damage that was done and how horrible it was.
Not only did they ransack offices, but they pooped and peed, and they found feces and urine all over the building. Yeah. And I knew that this was going to happen. I knew it. And they put everybody at risk with that because of COVID.
We've got many letters this morning about that, about the super spreader nature of that event too, which I think we're only going to start, just starting to hear about that.
Right.
Let's see. I think time for one more letter. Barbara writes, after a huge event like this, this is a way of naming it and referring to it seems to eventually settle in. I feel as though we need to begin using the term Trump insurrection so that the president's name will forever be attached to this horrendous event. And he loves naming rights anyway, so that sounds, it's a good plan.
Yeah. The PGA just pulled a national golf tournament from Bedminster. I think he's going to start losing a lot of money because of this. And there are major corporations who are saying, for those who voted against the certification, you're not going to get our money anymore. Marriott and a bunch of others.
All right. We're out of time. We have to go, but I want to thank our panel very much. Alan Chartok, thank you.
Thank you, Joe.
Judy Patrick, Santa Freeman-Tolbert, and Libby Post, thanks to all of you for being a part this morning, as well as to the many letter writers. And when we come back, we'll go to the Congressional Corner. Governor Cuomo and the State of the State coming up at 11:30. Next on the Roundtable.